Finally, it occurred to me that I would call, as though nothing had happened, and send a message in by the maid asking Mrs. Strickland if it was convenient for her to see me. This would give her the opportunity to send me away. But I was overwhelmed with embarrassment when I said to the maid the phrase I had prepared, and while I waited for the answer in a dark passage, I had to call up all my strength of mind not to bolt. The maid came back. Her manner suggested to my excited fancy a complete knowledge of the domestic calamity. "Will you come this way, sir?" she said. I followed her into the drawing-room. The blinds were partly drawn to darken the room, and Mrs. Strickland was sitting with her back to the light. Her brother-in-law, Colonel MacAndrew, stood in front of the fireplace, warming his back at an unlit fire. To myself, my entrance seemed excessively awkward. I imagined that my arrival had taken them by surprise, and Mrs. Strickland had let me come in only because she'd forgotten to put me off. I fancied that the Colonel resented the interruption. "I wasn't quite sure if you expected me," I said, trying to seem unconcerned. "Of course I did. Anne will bring the tea in a minute." Even in the darkened room, I could not help seeing that Mrs. Strickland's face was all swollen with tears. Her skin, never very good, was earthy. "You remember my brother-in-law, don't you? You met at dinner here just before the holidays." We shook hands. I felt so shy that I could think of nothing to say, but Mrs. Strickland came to my rescue. She asked me what I'd been doing with myself during the summer, and with this help I managed to make some conversation till tea was brought in. The Colonel asked for a whiskey and soda. "You'd better have one too, Amy," he said. "No, I prefer tea."